Well, unlike Shane, I don't know where he's at. I saw him a little while ago. There he is. I don't really classify my talks by soft or hard. Many of my talks are sort of like something that I want you to carry with you throughout the rest of the week. To try when you're in the workplace, when you're doing something throughout your days that maybe you remember a little bit of it and you think, oh, yeah, that's right, Jeff kind of wanted me to do something this week. So hopefully as you're going through, my theme is really simple. Is I just want you guys to be good examples to the rest of the world. So there's a title, maybe, Be Good Examples. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the grain measure, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Lord who is in heaven. That's Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And really, as Christians, we are the light of the world. And people look to us. And in some aspect, we influence people. We have a choice. Do we influence them in a good way or in a bad way? People look to us as Christians, and they judge all of Christianity by our actions. By the things that they see us do, they judge all Christians that way. Thomas Jefferson, in writing to John Adams, had a quote that I liked. It says, I always judge a man's religion by his life, for it is from our lives and not our words that our religion is read. Let me read that again. I always judge a man's religion by his life, for it is not from our life, for it is from our lives and not our words that a man's religion is read. In other words, our actions sometimes speak louder than words. Though we say that we are Christians, it's sometimes shown in our actions more than it is by the words we say. Thomas Jefferson, though he doesn't live in the 21st century where we have modern technology, where our words are written just about everywhere, or we're even being recorded on MP3 on the internet, his words still resonate true today, that our actions do speak louder than words. What I was going to go through is I was going to go through a few examples from the Bible of good examples for us to be examples and some bad examples of good examples, if that makes sense. So sort of some good examples and some counterexamples for us to sort of model our lives after. Let's start with the bad examples. I didn't want to cover too many. I have two of them to start off with. In Numbers 13, God, through Moses, sent 12 spies into Canaan to look around to see what the land is like and what the people were like. If you remember, two of those spies, one was Caleb and one was Joshua. And as they went there, they came back, and I always have this picture of them carrying this giant branch of grapes back. And they came back and said, yes, it is flowing with milk and honey. This is the greatest place ever. They also said it's filled with giants. And they were scared. They were filled with fear. And they wouldn't trust in God. 10 of those spies felt that way. Caleb spoke out as saying that wasn't necessarily the case. They could do anything. But those 10 spies, really, they tried, because of their lack of faith, they tried to influence an entire nation, I guess, against God. That's one bad example for us not to follow. Second example is the Pharisees during Jesus' time. For next week, we're reading, for the Food and Fellowship, we're reading through Matthew 6. Matthew 6 sort of starts off talking about the Pharisees and how they pray on street corners, how they want a trumpet blown whenever they fast or whenever they do good deeds. They want everyone to know about it, and their reward is right then. They also talk about how they show outwardly really what they're doing, but they command people to do something else. They're hypocrites. They're actors, pretending to be God's people, but really, truly, they're not. Those are two examples wanted to go through some actual good examples for us to maybe model our lives after. I picked sort of four, I would say maybe pillars of the Old Testament. There are a lot of other people I could have picked. And I'm going to obviously end my talk with one really good example from the New Testament. My first example from the Old Testament is Noah. He's a really good model for us for his godliness. You can talk about how Noah was a great man as far as he was obedient to God and that he built the ark, even though people were despising him the entire time. But I really wanted to focus on when he was there, the world was full of corruption. And there were so many bad people at that time, and God was really thinking, I could just destroy everybody. But God saw Noah. He saw him. And what was said about him was Noah was said to be a just man, perfect in his generations. And I don't know how you are at work. Maybe this is you, maybe it's not. But I'm usually surrounded by some pretty bad people at work. And maybe you are too. And maybe, you know, they sometimes talk about bad things. They sometimes joke about bad things. They sometimes think about bad things. And it's tough to be that in that environment. Many of you might be in that same situation. And when you're in that situation, I sometimes think about Mel because he was, the entire world was filled with these corrupt people. And you have to think, well, how did he come above? How did he become better? That was really through God. He was definitely a good example and a good role model to those people around him. My second good example person was Abraham. I really picked Abraham because of his faithfulness. We all know the story of how God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. In Hebrews 11, it talks about how, you know, because his son was God's promise, it was his inheritance. It was the lineage through which he was to extend, through the way by which he was to extend his lineage. And though Abraham must have been kind of wondering for at least a split second, what are you thinking, God? How can you give me all this and then take it away? He did. He really said, you know, God will find a way. He was faithful to God. For us, I think, you know, when we have a death in the family, or when someone breaks up with us, or a friend sort of says some harsh words to you, or even when we lose our job, or some situation that's really tough, that we need to think about Abraham and the faithfulness that he had. That he put his trust, he put his faith in God, that somehow they would make it through. A third person was Job. I thought about Job for his patience. And I just read through the first two chapters of Job, you find all sorts of crazy things happen. It's almost comical if you read straight through it. His servants were killed, his sheep were burned, his camel stolen, a house collapsed on his seven sons and three daughters. His entire body was covered from the sole of his feet to the top of his head with sores, with boils. And I think this is awful. And through all that, Job never cursed God, never sinned, is what the Bible says. I just think, wow, how can he endure that much? And his quote was, Jehovah gave, and Jehovah has taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. God gives and God taketh away. That God will provide. I think for us, when we wonder how God can sort of take things away from us, I wonder if maybe we can sort of think, man, I'm so thankful I had this friend, this dear loved one for so long in my life, or I was able to have my health for so long. Thank you, God, for this thing. That we shouldn't curse God, that we shouldn't go about and, I don't know, say bad things about God, I guess. We should think of Job as an example to us in the world. My fourth example is Daniel. And Daniel is definitely a courageous man. In Daniel 6, we know the story. Daniel's with King Darius, and there was a law that was passed that you couldn't worship anyone for 30 days besides King Darius, because he was a god on earth. And David, knowing the law full well and what would happen to someone if he didn't follow the law, still went to his house with his doors and windows open, and he prayed. Prayed to God three times. And the men brought him before King Darius, and he was thrown in a lion's den. Now, I'm not saying that it's all that courageous to be thrown into a lion's den, because we can all be thrown in. But I wanted to focus on the point that though he knew what was the law said, the people's law, man's law, he knew exactly what God wanted him to do. And that's where I think he's courageous, is that despite what the law said, he still did what God wanted him to do. He wanted him to pray. God wants that relationship with him as well as he likes to have that relationship with us. King Darius the next day, as you guys know, came to him and said, no hurt was found on him because he trusted in his God. Kind of ties together these good examples. For Noah, though he was in a corrupt world, still did what was right. He was a just man. Abraham had his faithfulness, though he had things, bad things happening, and he didn't know what to do. He knew that God was going to bring it out in the end. And Job, even though everything seemed to be going wrong, he still had patience and still loved God. Daniel was courageous in the things that he did. There's a song that plays on the radio, and I hear it from time to time. I always think of I think of a lot of things when I hear it, but really, it talks about how we can appear in the world's eyes. Well, I'll just kind of read some of the lyrics for it, I guess. You might recognize it, maybe you won't, I have no idea. Depends on how much radio you listen to, I guess. But I have not been called to the wisdom of this world, but to a God who is calling out to me. And even though the world may think I'm losing touch with reality, it would be crazy to choose this world over eternity. And I think that kind of sums up a lot of the thoughts, that we have choices to make, that we can really either accept this world, we can love this world, or we can have hope in the eternal and put our faith in the eternal. That's definitely something we're going to talk about next week during Food and Fellowship. If you guys could turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, I was going to read one verse that was going to kind of help me finish this part of my talk. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is giving some advice to Timothy, to a young Timothy. And he tells them to do, well, he tells them in six ways how to be examples to other people that he encounters. And I think they're really reflected in the six examples, two non-examples and four good examples, of how we should be models to other people. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. I hope I got all six of those. But I want to go through all those six just really quickly with you. In word, I think it means that we need to be careful in the things that we say and how we say them. There's always a good scripture that I think of. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let it be as the words of God. The things that we say, they shouldn't be meaningless, they shouldn't be pointless, they shouldn't be cursing anyone, they shouldn't be a lot of things. What they should be is they should be meaningful to us, inspiring to us, they should be there to build us up, and they should be truthful. So think about some of the things that we say. Are the things that we say as fruitful? Or are they as the words of God? Secondly, in conduct. Should be examples in conduct. It's our manner of life. We can't forget that people are observing us at all times, and they're judging Christianity by the things that we do, the things that we say. And let us not try to be hypocrites. Let us not just be mere actors, but to be Christians, to be true followers and imitators of Christ. Thirdly, in love, we should be role models in love, good examples in love. We should love God first. We should love Christ, meditating on the Word, His life and His example. We should love our fellow man. We are constantly thinking about those things. We're constantly reflecting on the Word, the things that it says, and the model of Christ in our lives, and letting it permeate in our hearts and letting it go out into the world. We have this love down. We're a great example by love. Fourthly, in spirit, kind of goes to the question, what type of attitudes do you have? Generally speaking, are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? What are the things that go on in your life? Fifthly, in faith, is it strong or is it weak? Do you have a lot of faith? Do you have a little? When those storms come in your life, when those giants come, how do you react? Can your faith ever really be compared to that of Abraham? Are you leaning on God for your wants, your desires, your needs, in good times and bad? Or are you trusting your own instincts? Some things to think about. The sixth thing is that we should be good examples in purity. I think this is a pretty good test when you're out in the real world, is if people can tell that you're a Christian. Can they look at you and the actions that you have, the words that you have, the conversations that you have? Do they know that you want to remain unspotted in this world? Or, on contrast, do they see that maybe instead you can easily get entangled in this world's vices? Some things to think about. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul tells people, and us, I think, to be imitators of him, even as he was an imitator of Christ. So in other words, be like Paul, because Paul was trying his hardest to be like Christ. As Christians, our name reflects Christ. But I think more importantly than just reflecting his name, we need to really reflect the light that God gave us through his Son. Reflecting that light. He is what's set before us as an example, as one who we could be like, and how we appear to others. We need to reflect that light. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, there's a couple of verses I want to read. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 25. I'll read that for us now. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 25. For Christ also suffered on our behalf. I want us to think about some of the things that go on and how we can be imitators of Christ. Christ suffered on our behalf, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He who had no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he gave himself up to him who judges righteously. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that dying to sins we might live to righteousness. By whose stripes you are healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you have turned to the shepherd, overseer of your souls. So I've talked about some good examples. I've talked about some bad examples. And hopefully we see that our lives as Christians are meant to reflect Christ, to reflect the glory of God, and that we realize that we are a light to this world. And throughout this week, I hope that you can let your life shine. I hope that it brings glory to God in all that we do.